Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct the question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star and then one. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will hand the meeting over to your host. You may begin.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the financial year 2013 to 2014 annual results announcement analyst conference call for Hopewell Holdings Limited and Hopewell Highway Infrastructure Limited. Before the call starts, let me kindly remind you that the results announcements for both companies have been uploaded on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange website, and they are also available together with our today's presentation and press releases on the two companies' websites under Investor Relations section. Now, let me introduce the management who are with us in the call today. We have Mr. Thomas Wu, Managing Director of Hopewell Holdings and Hopewell Highway Infrastructure, Mr. William Wong, Executive Director of Hopewell Holdings, and Mr. Bruce Leung, Director of Hopewell Asset Management. Now, I'd like to invite Mr. Thomas Wu to go through Hopewell Holdings Limited results, please.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the results announcement. First, I will run through the presentation for Hopewell Holdings Limited ended year at June 2014, so please look at the presentation. I'm going to skip through. I won't go through line by line, and if you have questions, feel free to ask after the opening. So for the group, we are active in property management and see continuous growth in the performance of investment properties and hospitality businesses. Enthusiastic response of The Avenue. Hopewell Center 2 construction is advancing full steam forward. We have an increasing exposure in the Wan Chai area to capture growth opportunities and solid financial position for future investments. Now, on the business side, proactive property management leads to increase in the income, so 7% for the property and hospitality revenue to 1.3 billion. Office rental recorded a historical high in the fiscal year 2014. Hopewell Center recorded office income of 236 million, increase of 27%, and for Key Tech, increase of 12% to 89 million. Key Tech targeted overall revenue for the next fiscal year is no less than 480 million or 19% year-on-year growth. Pre-sale of The Avenue received enthusiastic response, and we have sold 93% of the units and already received net proceeds. And as of end of June 30th, already received 1.1 billion. On the project under development, the construction of Hopewell Center 2 is in progress and plan to complete the site formation by the end of 2015. We will continue to look for opportunities to increase land reserves in locations with synergy to the existing properties. We have purchased the land on Schooner Street from the government in June 2014, and also the Queen's Road East project. One part is under demolition and the other is under compulsory sale, expected to complete by mid-2015. Slide 5, you can see, is the Wan Chai portfolio, and it will be around 2.3 million square feet once everything is completed. And we'll have one of the largest retail clusters upon the completion of Hopewell Center 2 and the Avenue Walk. Cash on hand is 4.2 billion. And the net debt is 1.06 billion, which brings our gearing down to 3%. And as I said, the proceeds from the Avenue sales has been received, and it's reducing our net debt. On slide 7, you can see the operating profit from prime earning businesses has maintained at 1.1 billion, and you see the increasing contribution from the property side, and as well as still strong contribution from the total investments. Slide 8 is the earnings picture. So improvement is from the performance of the investment properties and Phase 2 West Highway, and also Hopewell New Town sales as well. But there is decrease due to the full year operation of phase three, when interest and depreciation cannot be capitalized, and also the decrease in the Panda Hotel's earnings. Without the recognition of the fair value gain from land conversion, the profit to owners is 1.36 billion. Slide 9 is the detailed breakdown of the earnings. On slide 10, the board proposes a final dividend of 60 cents, which brings the full year dividend to $1.10, an increase of 10%. And also, the board proposes a 1 HHI share per 20 HHL share in specie distribution to the Hobo Holdings shareholders. On slide 11, you can see that we have kept it about $1 a share in regular dividend, and this year we started the increase to $1.10 regular dividend per share. In performance of the investment properties and hospitality, on slide 13, you can see the continued growth. And this year, there is a 7% growth in revenue and 4% growth in EBIT in the fiscal year. Slide 14 is the occupancy and rental data. Slide 15, you can see the performance of the office segment. And Hobo Center will continue to see growth in the next 2 years, whereas Key Tech, already 12% growth this year, will see even stronger growth in the next year of 35%. And as we have said before, with the strategy to attract high-quality and large-space tenants, we have been able to increase our rental income, and of course, with them, high income spending as well, which will benefit the retail part. Slide 16, for Hobo Center, we continue to see rental growth, and we benefit from the decentralization, as some of the space users want to have slightly lower rental and still maintain a convenient location. We have signed a multinational insurance company, and also Nissan's their office will be located in Hobo Center, including the global headquarters for Infinity brand. And Hobo Center's facade is going to begin work fourth quarter of 2014 and complete by 2015. The revolving restaurant on 62nd floor will be run by L'Atelier de Robujon, which is a Michelin three-star restaurant, and it's targeted to open first quarter 2015. And the Infinity showroom will be in Hobo Center as well. And Key Tech, the it's the same thing as Hobo Center. We have rental growth and we benefit from the decentralization. Hospital Authority, for example, is committed to lease around 120,000 square feet and will begin in September. And so we also have converted the sixth-floor retail space into office and conference facilities, and that has, will also increase our income. The Metroplex Theater has opened in February 2014, and we target not only to be one of the best cinemas around, we also target to have premieres and film festivals. And already, since its opening, we have captured about one quarter of all the premieres in Hong Kong, which is the most number of all the cinemas in Hong Kong. We will have the first ever Sundance Film Festival here in Hong Kong in September. And the film industry is very excited. It will also improve on the profile and also the branding of our cinema, and has been attracting a lot of audiences, which will help in our attraction to retailers. And already, 759 store, their first supermarket has opened in Key Tech. With the renovation of Rotunda 2, we have upgraded on the space and target to set higher charges to our clients. Panda Place has gone through the renovation 2 years ago, and the full year income has seen 60% increase compared with before renovation. And the second floor will also be converted into Asian cuisine, which will also increase in our income. Panda Hotel, as said before, the performance has dropped this year. Part of this is the new PRC tourism law, which led to many months in the fiscal year having a drop in the room rate, and that led to an overall 3% drop in room rate, which is pretty significant on the bottom line. On the F&B front, the revenue has stayed flat, but the bottom line is actually a little bit worse as the shift in the mix. And so what we're doing going forward to maintain competitiveness is to diversify our customer mix. In the room side, we are strengthening on our target on meeting MICE, what is called the MICE business, and already receiving strong response from the market. And also on F&B, have to strengthen on our management and marketing. On development projects, slide 24 is the different projects that we have underway. And slide 25, you can see the portfolio. And the key thing is that once everything is completed, we will connect the portfolio to the MTR station, continuing to Wan Chai North, making us very well connected. Slide 26 is some of the projects underway, including Ho Wo Center 2 and the Queens Road East projects. And on slide 27, you can see the pictures of Ho Wo Center 2 site. It's under construction and already well underway. Slide 28, you can see, is the timeline simplified for Ho Wo Center 2, and also some of the CapEx numbers. As you can see, in the next two fiscal years, the spending it's only about 1.4 billion or so, and the rest is after that. Slide 29 is the 115 to 167 Queens Road East project. We have applied to the Town Planning Board for development of a commercial building, and part of that project is already being demolished or underway. The demolition works is underway, and another part, the compulsory auction is underway. We target to complete by mid-2015. Schooner Street site, we bought it from the government and took possession in July 2014, and we are currently studying the development potential. And we believe there will be synergy with our other properties in the area. Slide 31, the sale of the Avenue has been quite strong. As I said, 93% has been sold, and the prices are displayed here. And already generated 12.2 billion in sales at the joint venture level. And slide 32, the projects are under construction, and the completion timeline is set here. Phase 1 is fourth quarter of 2014, and phase 2 is second half of 2015. Slide 33, it's on the retail front, the project timeline, and the target grand opening is second half of 2015 and has been receiving positive response from potential tenants. Property for sale, Hopewell New Town, numbers are all here. The sale price, we have seen an increase of 4%, which is quite encouraging. And then we also have laid out the target for the next fiscal year. Broadwood 12, we have uploaded our sales materials on the website, and we are looking at the market condition and can launch shortly once we have all the view on how to launch this, but you know, we're quite ready. On the financial highlights, slide 38, you can see this is some of the financial plans, and of course we have the capital and also a very low geared balance sheet, so we can proceed with our projects. So, you know, healthy prime earning businesses have healthy cash flow, and also the in the property sales, including the Avenue, Broadway 12, and Hobart New Town. slide 39 probably grabbed the interest of some of you because of the accounting standard for both Panda Hotel and Hobo Center 2, its historical cost minus depreciation. That's the carrying value. And so to bring the value to market value, we have laid out on the right-hand side, namely for Panda Hotel, market value should be $3.4 billion and versus book value of $317 million. And Hobo Center 2's hotel portion, market value of the land, basically it's the land right now, it's about $4.9 billion, and the book value is only $2.2 billion, mainly because a lot of the land on the private lot side was actually bought back in the 80s. And then another one that is at lower than market is the HHI business, as we are the majority shareholder, and it was actually sold through a spin-off. We still carry all the value of HHI at historical book value. So when you compare that to the closing on June 30th, that would be the HHI market value, if you like. There is also a difference of around $1.8 billion. And so when you add all these together, there is what I would say is the hidden value not reflected in the HHL balance sheet of around $8.60 per share. And so we have the adjusted shareholders equity, which we have laid out here. Slide 40 for the residential sales booking. As I said, the completion timeline. And so when you put that into our fiscal year, the fiscal year for 2015, you will see the booking of phase one, which is the single block, and the completion gain of the retail portion as it completes. And then for the fiscal year 2016, you will see the booking of phase two, which is the three blocks. For the special final dividend in specie for HHI shares, the rationale mainly it's in order to increase the market liquidity of HHI shares and also to broaden shareholder base of HHI. And we have done this before in 2009.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Can you please go through Hopewell Highway Infrastructure's results with us?
Sure. Okay. Now I will run through the results for the full year ended June 2014 for Hopewell Highway Infrastructure. Now the GS average total revenue fell 5% in the second half of the 2014, and this is mainly due to the full opening of the Coastal Expressway. We believe the diversion impact has been fully realized. Aggregate EBITDA of Toll Expressway increased 5% year-on-year, mainly due to the robust growth of Phase 2 West and also full-year performance for Phase 3. The Western Delta Route EBITDA increased 32% year-on-year and targeted to achieve profit break-even in the second half of next fiscal year. The result is affected by the full-year operation of Phase 3 West, which means that the interest and depreciation are no longer capitalized. Further CapEx for the project is not more than $289 million, and HHI has sufficient funding to meet these requirements. Slide 3 is the breakdown of the P&L. As you can see, revenue increase, EBITDA increase, and the exchange gain this year is not so much as renminbi has not appreciated a lot in the past fiscal year. So the net profit fell to $553 million, which is an 8% drop. And if you look at the contribution on slide A4, basically main contribution to that can be attributed to Phase 3 West full-year impact. That itself is around $48 million. Okay, and the net exchange gain is less, but if you look at the interest spread, that means the interest income and the financial expense, you can see that actually We have done even better in our interest spread in the past year for HHI. The board proposes a final dividend of 8.1 cents RMB for HHI, which will bring, if you see, look at A6, which will bring our final dividend to 99.8%. As we said, we'll target to have 100% dividend payouts given our strong financial position and stable dividend from GS Superhighway. So slide A7, net cash on hand is 1.1 billion RMB, and with 1 billion of that is lent to the JV. And we have also repaid our 600 million corporate bonds in May 2014. So on slide A8, you can see at the corporate level, that's where the cash is. So we have lent it to the JV. On operations, A9, GS daily toll revenue fell 5% in the second half of 2014. And so we believe that the diversion impact has been fully realized. There's 18 kilometers of coastal highway that was toll-free when it opened, and that section has started toll collection in August, so a few weeks ago. By 10, you can see the total market, when you add GS and the coastal highway together, grew around 10%. So the growth of the coastal highway is not only by taking up the GS income, but also they have attracted new users as well. Western Delta Route achieved profit break even. That the target would be in the next 12 months in the second half of 2015. The number is 3.2 million daily toll revenue, and we have achieved quite a bit, many days of 3 million in the past year. The total EBITDA has increased 32%, which is quite encouraging. Phase 2S has become profitable since the first half of 2014, and Phase 3S, it's also encouraging, and the target cash flow break even when it reaches 900,000 a day. Slide 12, you can see small cars is the main contribution to our revenue. In fact, it's close to 60% for the roads. And so continued car sales in China and continued consumer spending should be positive to our income. On slide 13, some of the changes in the toll scheme neutral impact to our roads. I'll jump right to slide 17, and you can see the split between the passenger cars and also the trucks. Slide 18 hasn't changed, so 3.2 million a day. And slide 19, you can see the performance since the beginning of January 2013 when Phase 3 opened. And you can see that now we are very close to 3 million a day in terms of the total revenue. So when it hits 3.2, then that's the break-even level. Slide 24, there are future development in the area that would benefit our West Highway, including, of course, the healthy GDP growth of the cities along the route. Hangqin, as a new area, there are many projects that are starting and some completing. Those certainly would benefit traffic, as we are a quite direct link to Hangqin. Macau's continued development and the second phase of the gaming facility certainly should help our traffic, and also new linkages, including the Hong Kong-Zhuhai-Macau bridge, completing in the next few years, should also be helpful to boost traffic on our road. 25 is a sound financial position. The further investment can be easily covered by our facilities and cash. And 26, China has been the world's biggest car market. And this year, we're looking at something like 8 to 10% in terms of vehicle sales growth. And so far, it's well on track to doing that, which, of course, more cars on the road means better business for us. Coastal Highway, fully open at the end of 2013, and GS is still very competitive. And as you have seen, the drop is about 5% in the toll income, and we believe that the impact is fully realized. And also, the Coastal Highway charges the same unit rate as the GS Superhighway.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Now we'll open lines for questions. Operator, can you please give us some instructions?
Thank you, ma'am. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. One moment, please, as we wait for the first question.
No questions.
Once again, like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name, and to withdraw your request, please press star 2. We now have one question on queue. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Mr. Wei Sim of HSBC. Your line is now open.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation, Thomas. I really just have one question, and it's got to do with dividend distribution for Coastal Highway Infrastructure. In the past, you know, the company does have a track record of having paid some special dividends. I was just wondering, in terms of going forward, what type of metrics we'd be looking at in terms of, you know, perhaps gearing levels or cash levels, or what could we see as, you know, a potential trigger for forecasting the company's future potential to pay special dividends? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Wei. Very good question, as I'm also a shareholder. The dividend, as we have said, firstly, is that we have kept the dividend payout at very close to 100% already in the past years. Now, if you look at the balance sheet, HHI Corporate itself is in net cash position. Even after the 1 billion renminbi loan we extended to the JV, we still have around 110 million in cash on hand. So that's pretty good position to be in. But we have coming along about, let's just shy of 300 million in the CapEx for the phase 2 and phase 3 construction costs. So once that's spent, then HHI itself would not be so liquid at the corporate level. Well, that also means we don't have idle cash. So in that case, I think we would still be able to maintain the regular dividend. And really, it depends on how quickly the joint venture can repay our loan, you know. So by I guess sometime 2015, we are looking at close to 1.3 billion loan we have extended to the joint venture, and so the quicker they reach operating leverage and performing well on the road itself will get repaid, then I think the HHI liquidity would drastically improve due to the repayment of the shareholder loan, and I think by then you know, we'll be a little more favorable to look at different options.
Mm. Okay. Is there any metric that we could potentially look at as a cue for, you know, the potential payout for a special dividend, though? Is it mainly just liquidity, and what kind of levels that we'd be looking at?
I think liquidity certainly is one key factor. You know, even though we are, you know, we're still on very sound financial terms, you know, the core of the business still is the performance of GS and the West Highway. So, you know, it comes down to the performance of these two projects first. But, you know, we have shown before that we are definitely not very stingy on the dividend payouts. And already the highest in the road sector.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Wayne Lee of Credit Suisse. Your line is now open.
Hi, Thomas. On Hopewell Holdings level, could you give us more color on the development of the Hillside Terrace cluster and the Milkang Terrace, like the GFA of each site, and what's the usage going to be? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne. A very good question. We have had some of the land for quite some time, and some are newly acquired, namely the Milkang Terrace. So we are very happy that at the first quarter of this year, we have completed the purchase of all of Milkang Terrace. Certainly, that makes a redevelopment a bit closer. Now, and together with the acquisition of the new Schooner Street site from the government, it looks like a pretty attractive site. And so, you know, we're looking at what is the possibility. And first of all, we are still collecting the some of the professional reports we have asked the consultants to write to us. So I think, you know, be a little patient. We have been waiting for many years to get this going. Now, all of the areas put together, we're looking at close to the site area of maybe 26,000 square feet or so. So it's a pretty sizable site in the heart of the city. So once, you know, we have a more solid plan, I think we'll disclose as we go forward. But the site is also not too easy to develop, as you appreciate, because it's landlocked. So I think once, you know, we have a good plan, not only what we'll build and how we'll build it, then we'll have a good disclosure to the public.
Thanks. What is the accommodation value for these sites?
I mean, well, it depends on what we build and et cetera. So it's kind of hard right now to... you know, to put a value to. I know that's what your profession is, but you know, we also would be keen to get the project going, as you know, some of the projects we have bought for more than 30 years, and as the prevailing sentiment in Hong Kong is that we should not let idle land sit. Ours is certainly idle land. So once we have a path forward, then we'll disclose to everyone.
Okay, thanks, Thomas.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Leo Nang. Your line is now open.
Hi, Thomas. This is Leo from JP Morgan. I got two questions. One is on the investment cost for Hopewell Center Phase 2. As you disclosed that the total investment cost would be $9 billion, but we have been seeing cost escalation for some other development or infrastructure projects. So do you foresee any cost escalation for the project? And secondly, for the distribution in species of HHI shares. Do you see this as a will do this progressively, or it is just one off for this financial year? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Leo. The first question, of course, in Hong Kong, the construction industry is a bit tight in terms of the resources. So, well, put it this way: the cost that we have. Certainly, is a target that we have set, and we try very hard to contain it. And in fact, the chairman is personally involved in making sure that the project cost will be controlled as well as possible. So, I think given the given is in Wan Chai, and also with our experience in construction, that I would believe that we can do quite well in terms of the construction cost control. But nevertheless, you know, some of the things is out of our control. But, you know, I think so far we're not too afraid of the costs are running too much more. But, you know, it depends on really how closely we look at the project, and we're looking at it very closely. It's right next to our headquarters. So that's all I can tell you on the cost of the Hopewell Center 2 for now. All right, and then on the distribution in species for HHI, we have actually done that once back in 2009. And in fact, we have studied the impact of that and also talked to a broader shareholder base about this. And basically, it's quite welcome by shareholders. And also, we looked at the trading volume of HHI, and that has seen an increase and sustained increase due to that. Now, so after the distribution, Hopewell Holdings would hold just shy of 67% of HHI, and so that means, you know, there's a slight increase into the hands of Hopewell Holdings shareholders in the shares of HHI, and we believe that that's the right direction. Now, whether we'll continue to do this, well, I think we'll continue to look at the market situation and also hear feedback from our shareholders. And so nothing is decided there on out.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name, and to withdraw your request, you can press star 2. At this time, there are no further questions on queue.
Thanks, Abby. If there is no questions, then it's the end of today's analyst call. If you have any further questions in the future or would like to reach the company, please don't be hesitant to contact our IR department, Ms. Carmen Lai, at 2862-5683. So on behalf of Hopewell, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.